Welcome to In the Blue Corner, live from Las Vegas this week for the big fight week. Canelo Alvarez and Caleb Plant. I'm your host, Jaime Mota, with two-time division champ, Paulie Malignaggi. And we have a very special guest right now with us, the president of the World Boxing Council, Mauricio Sulaiman. Mauricio, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you, Jaime. Thank you, Paulie. It's an honor for me to be in the blue corner. I thought it was the red the green corner for the WBC, but it's the blue corner.
We'll call it the green corner for you today. Mauricio, you know, this is a very important fight. For the first time ever, the 168-pound division, super middleweight division, will have an undisputed champion after this. How important is it, you know, historically, for these two fighters, for Canelo Alvarez and Caleb Plant, to be able to do this?
Well, this is huge. This is something extraordinary. There are very few undisputed champions in the history. And to be the first undisputed champion in the super middleweight division, where you have had so many great names, Nigel Benn, Gerald McLellan, Tommy Hearns, Leonard, Roy Jones, so many great heroes of the ring, and this to be the first undisputed match is sensational. It's very honorable to be here. I'm humbled.
Now, we have here with us a very special belt that the winner is going to get. Could you tell us a little bit about this belt?
Yes, the WBC started a tradition in 2017 to honor those great cards that happened in May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, and September 16th with cultural, unique pieces of art. These belts have been with the Huichol culture, the Mayan culture. This year is the state of Mexico, and it is the Teotihuacan belt. Since the fight was scheduled to happen in September, through negotiations didn't come up, and then on September there were no fights. So the WBC decided to carry it on and present it to the winner of Canelo Plant. It's a trophy. There's nothing other than recognition, a piece of the heart of Mexico and the WBC to the world. So we're very happy. It's a beautiful design. Took many, many hours of hard work. It has several precious stones, the pyramids, the sun and the moon. And it's just a Teotihuacan belt for the winner.
And you know, and here in Blue Moon, you know, the moon is radiant. You know, there's a lot of topics that, you know, we'd like to discuss with you. One of them being, obviously, the fact that now the four organizations got together. And one of the things that you guys talked about was trying to get rid of some of, like, the interim championships and things like that. Why is that something that needs to happen within boxing?
Well, we have had the good intentions to meet for a long time. We have met before, but never the four organizations. We did this in Puerto Rico. It was a very productive meeting, very respectful, with very positive results. What we want to do is to enhance and support unification bouts and undisputed champions per division. And one of the topics that comes immediately with the rules that currently govern boxing is the mandatory contenders. So if you're undisputed champion, then you have four mandatories that you have to comply with. And that's mandatory after mandatory after mandatory, which complicates very much the scenario for an undisputed champion. The administrations of the championships get disrupted. So we have good ideas, good plans. We are putting our minds together how to address to get more unification bouts and what to do the mandatory and to move around the scenario so that the mandatory contenders become very important fighters that come from an important process. So it's that's one of the good things. We have seen the WBA reducing all the championships they had in each division. Ultimately, they confirmed that they want to have only one champion, which is a good news. They have started that process. Hopefully, it will happen, and in the near future, we'll have one division with as low champions as possible so the fans can see a world champion. We talked about some rules, and it was just a gratifying moment to be with all the presidents.
Mauricio, it's an honorable goal to achieve. It's just obviously there's a lot of things that sometimes get in the way, and sometimes it's even beyond control. You made a good point about the number one contenders, because you know we see that in unification processes, sometimes the number one contenders get left behind, such as Dillian White in the heavyweight division. You know, he's been a top contender for a while, but has had to take a step back because of the unification process, which is something that everybody wants to see. Obviously, the unification process is the important thing, the be-all, end-all in our sport. And my question is that why we have these secondary belts for the number one contenders? Because, for example, we saw in the middleweight division, Charlo was, and just to stay with the WBC, because I know the WBA is also doing something similar, but the Charlo and Canelo situation where there was a franchise champion and a world champion. And then now, even at lightweight, there is a franchise champion with Teofimo Lopez and a world champion with Devin Haney. Is Haney there to take on the number one contenders so that Teofimo does not have to take on the number one contenders? And is there a light at the end of the tunnel where then there is one champion so that basically Haney's tenure is limited until he gets a shot at the proper champion?
That's a very good point, because first we have to understand that each organization has their own rules and their different criteria and procedures.
But you guys got together, so it would be a good chance to put all the ideas together.
We got together, we got ideas on the table. It's a process. Mm-hmm. You cannot do a change immediately. We put ideas, and the idea is to move forward and all to look at our rules and regulations. When something gets into the court, then it disrupts everything. It's very complicated. What we have in the franchise designation, that's a concept we introduced several years ago, very much limited to a few fighters that supersede, that are out of the equation, that are special. Like Canelo got the franchise designation, and Charlo was the world champion. We had that when Lomachenko became champion.
And then Teofimo took it from
him. Teofimo beat him, so that was only fair. And we did it with Estrada only to allow Estrada to do the third fight with Chocolatito.
Yes.
And then that would make the tie Rung Bisai against Cuadras, two former champions, fight each other, and then all fight each other for one championship.
Yes, so and that's probably the goal. It's just if this doesn't happen, sometimes it's beyond your control. Promotional battles, promotional rivalries, they don't, networks.
Networks, promotions.
So how do you guys do your part in order to prevent this? Because, for example, with Haney parading himself like he's the, and not a knock on Haney, obviously he's a good fighter, but with Haney parading himself as like he's a WBC champion when he's not, it starts to feel like the everybody gets a trophy generation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like he just, like, you know, if I'm Haney, I want Teofimo at all costs, and I would be knocking on your door to tell you, you know, I want to feel like the real champion.
Well, Haney is a champ. We have to be just.
But that's the thing. Does it start to feel like everybody gets a belt, everybody gets a trophy? Because Teofimo, what is the royalty in being the undisputed champion if somebody else in your same weight class can go around saying they're a champion? What is the prestige in the undisputed championship? The undisputed championship is a prestigious, hard to achieve scenario. And if there is an undisputed champion, doesn't it become disrespectful to him that there's other guys parading themselves as a world champion in the same weight class?
You know, as I say, it's a long process, and that lightweight division was very complicated.
It's a good division.
It goes back from Mikey Garcia. Yeah. Mikey Garcia was a champion. He moved up to welterweight to fight Spence.
Mm-hmm.
And through that process, we ordered several fights involving Teofimo Lopez, involving Haney,
Lomachenko.
Fortuna. No, before even Lomachenko. Okay. And then Teofimo moved on. He fought for the IBF title.
Mm-hmm.
Haney fought for an interim title because of what was happening with Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lomachenko, which was very different. He was champion of the WBA and WBO, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he petitioned to fight for the WBC vacant title. So the WBC did something that was never done before. We accepted a champion to come in and fight for a vacant title against Luke Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
So
But Lomachenko was a 130-pound champion before, and he gets automatic the bid at one number one at 135, right?
Yeah, but he was a champion. Mm-hmm. He was a champion, reigning champion.
Oh, the unified WBA.
So he comes in, and we did something to give boxing. Mm-hmm. We tried to be flexible. We tried to make our ultimate goal is to get the biggest fight.
It's hard because it's hard. So many holes to jump through.
But today they announced Haney is fighting Jojo Diaz. So that's streaming down.
But is there a light at the end of the tunnel? Is there something that's going to happen with Teofimo after that?
It would be great to have Teofimo after Cambosos to fight Haney or Diaz.
That's what we need.
But also he's trying to move up to...
And if he moves up, then move up. And then the winner in Jojo and Haney does become the champion. You know, like happened with Lennox Lewis back in the day when Riddick Bowe didn't want to fight him, right? So, okay, then you're the champion, you know?
Right.
We got to take a break, I believe. So
yeah, exactly.
We'll come back, because I want to come to you. This is a lot of different scenarios in these conversations, and I love to hear the ideas coming from you, Mr. Suleiman.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. We'll be right back here in the blue corner. We're here with WBC President Mauricio Suleiman. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now, to learn more.
800-741-8791. 800-741-8791. 800-741-8791. That's 800-741-8791.
Welcome back in the blue corner here with Mauricio Suleiman, the president of the WBC. Remember, you guys can subscribe also to BlueMoonFight.tv, where you can get absolutely everything there is to know about boxing. If you guys have any content as well, you guys can send it in. BlueMoonFight.tv, you can follow us on all the social media platforms as well. We're here talking with Mauricio Suleiman about trying to get all the belts, trying to get one champ to be the one that reigns, just like in The Lord of the Rings, right? One that rules them all. Like there used to be before. There used to be one champion for the 8 different weight divisions. There was only one champion. It seemed like at a point, you know, were way too many.
I actually, being a boxer of this generation, I can understand why the one champion is difficult. Because back in the day, champions fought every month. So everybody would get a title shot, or at least you thought everybody got a title shot. Now, with the champions, the TV contracts being so expensive, and the champion can only fight once or twice a year, you kind of need the organizations, multiple organizations. So I never had a problem with the multiple organizations, because I feel like otherwise very good fighters are going to miss their prime and not ever get a chance to fight for a championship. And then sometimes you'll see guys get a chance, a world championship shot out of their prime, and they won't have been their best at it, you know? So I think the old school yearning of people wanting to, the one champion, it is very difficult today, because again,
it's too romantic.
It's very romanticism, because the business has changed. Television changed boxing, and there's not the dates enough. Not to mention, who's going to fight once a month now?
Let me ask you something. That's something that also, you know, like you said, television networks have made it difficult as well. But there's also been the talk, especially Congress has talked about, boxing is the one sport that is not ruled by one entity. You know, pretty much it seems like boxing makes its rules as it goes, as opposed to other sports.
We're gonna have a good round here.
Okay,
boxing,
let's go.
Boxing is
give me your best one too.
Boxing is the only sport that has nothing to do with the business. The NFL, the NBA, the NHL, every single league or organization, they control the TV contracts, they sell the teams, they control the sponsorship. It's a big business scenario. UFC. They control everything. In boxing, the organizations have nothing to do with the business side of the sport.
And that also sometimes complicates the ability to make the unification.
It complicates everything,
but at
the same
time...
But it
leaves a free market to make more money.
And it leaves transparency, honorability, that there's no conflict of interest when you make a decision.
So, Mauricio, that's one of the things that's always been talked about in boxing, that things are never really as transparent as people would like them to be.
Right. Well, because we see them negatively. Because fans and media see it everything negatively. Boxing is a beautiful sport, but we ruin it. When you watch a broadcast and everything is negative. Oh, the referee did this. Oh, the manager did this. Oh, the trainer did this. Oh, he didn't make weight. Oh. When have you seen an NFL broadcast when they broach or they kill the sport or the team? I mean, sport boxing comes from the humble bets, and it's nature, and it will never change. Kids that have opportunity to go to drugs and other types of criminal activity, they choose the right path, they go through the sport, so much sacrifice, and they make it up, and then they become world heroes. I mean, it's a very complicated, but we always have that black shadow from the 40s that the mafia control the Chicago and the New York boxing. I have never in my life been involved or have seen a bribery or a negative thing done in our sport.
Having said that, one of the things that has plagued the sport recently are very controversial decisions.
You're right. But look, we have Chocolatito against Estrada. Great fight, close
fight. Could have gone either way.
And why the people got really upset? Because one judge gave it 117-111, very wide. But the score was correct. Could have gone either way. Then you have Charlo and Castaño. One judge goes all the way out.
But what do you think happened to those judges? Are they missing the fight, or are they?
That's the one thing that everybody wants to know.
Or is there something going on?
Why is there on some of these controversial decisions? Why is there that everybody seems to see one particular fight, and then there's one judge that seems that they had their back towards the ring, and they give you a completely different thing?
It could be a night off. It could be incompetency. The problem is the selection of officials.
How do we fix that?
It's different in every state. We have put forward many ideas to have 5 judges, to have remote scoring, to have open scoring at the 4th and the 8th round.
That's the thing. There's no definite answer, right? Because really, I feel like open scoring is bad because somebody's going to get on their bike if they're up by too many rounds. And it's going to kill the excitement of the fight, right?
That has happened on the opinion, but it has not happened in the 3,000 fights we have done worldwide.
Really?
When you are doing what you're used to doing, you're dominating. Even they score the fight at the 8th round, 80-72, that fighter continues doing the same thing, and he does not run around. We had one incident in France in 3,000 fights.
Really? And he ran around, the one guy?
but that happened. I mean, if Oscar De La Hoya knew at the 8th round against Trinidad, the fight was close, he would not have run around.
Of course.
And he did run without the open scoring.
Of course. But there's pros and cons.
The problem is we don't try things. If the judges had a better seat, the judges' seat is one of the worst in the arena. They are down, looking up.
Where would they be though, if they're not right there? If you could, what's the best possible placement for a judge?
It's like in tennis, you have a high chair, and you see the action right here.
But then are they blocking the view of the
fans and the television? Yeah.
What about if we let the judges see the replays between rounds? Like, you know, because sometimes the punches don't land that you think landed. Sometimes something is a trip. Sometimes, you think somebody got stunned by a shot. Meantime, he tripped over the guy's leg as he took the shot, so he wasn't stunned.
But there is replay in boxing, isn't there?
There is in the arena, right?
Yeah. Instant replay for the referees.
For the referees.
But not in every jurisdiction.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's been a big struggle. Now you have a horse racing, tennis, every sport has instant replay.
Yeah.
Boxing, like Nevada, they do, and they do a very good job. Mm-hmm. There are states that do not allow instant replay. Mm-hmm. So that inconsistency between each state, each country,
and that again is about the open market that boxing has. It's not controlled by one entity, but it's also, that's kind of a positive and negative.
It's a positive
thing.
And like, a knock on boxing.
Because even
well.
the business entity of the NFL or other things, there's pros and cons to those things too. You know what I'm saying? The same things people can complain about in boxing are also things that people can sometimes praise, I feel. Like, for example, people always say the UFC, oh, they make all the fights. Boxing doesn't always make all the fights. Well, the UFC is one promotion. It's not the sport. You know what I mean? There are many promoters in MMA, and they can never fight each other. So you actually have a bigger problem in MMA, I feel like, than in boxing. In boxing, sometimes jumping through the hoops of cross-promoting, cross-promotional fights is difficult, but at least you have the opportunity to complain about not making them, and hopefully enough complaints happen that they make them. MMA doesn't even give you the opportunity to complain about a certain champion not being able to fight the champion of another promotion. And nobody, I feel like those people are just trained to accept it, and they blame boxing instead. You know, there's pros and cons to everything, man. I defend this sport when it has to be, and I complain when I feel like I should complain too. I have one suggestion for just as my own personal suggestion based on the meeting that you had with the other presidents of the sanctioning bodies. And this is me. We're talking about a lot of people focus on the champions. You made a great point about the number one contenders. I really started thinking about that since you said that. What if every time there is a unified champion, the two belts are unified, not the undisputed, the three belts, whatever. Anytime the number one contender from each of those belts fights each other in an eliminator, and then there is one number one contender that you cannot say, okay, now this guy got to fight this number one contender, and the champion has to fight the other contender, and we have to vacate the belts because we can't stay undisputed. It's so difficult because you have to fight too many number one contenders. What if we make the number one contenders fight each other?
Were you in the meeting with us?
No, but I just started thinking maybe
that makes sense.
Complicated for the number one contenders instead of complicating it for the champion, because the number one contender has to earn the spot.
That
so
is,
complicated
that
for the number
precisely
one contenders.
One of the ideas that came about.
Perfect.
To have tournaments between mm-hmm. fighters to give one real good
because
contender to the champion.
Yeah, because sometimes the number one contender WBC is one, and then sometimes he'll be four in the IBF or he'll be seven in the BA. So
many times it happens that you have, let's say, number five contender, okay? Mm-hmm. Number four goes to fight for the IBF, number three gets injured, number two retires, number one goes to fight to the organization. Yeah. So you got number five. Automatically go to number one.
Yes, that's what happened to me with the BA. The contenders in front of me were not available, and I got bumped to number one when I won the BA title. So I see that. But again, so you use it in that case. The available contender to fight for that number one spot, because they're going to make themselves available for a chance to fight for a unified title, for the undisputed title, you know? And this way you don't stress the champion. The champion can focus on unifying. Say you can make the unification, another unification fight on the main event, and maybe the battle of number one contenders on the undercard or something.
I don't know.
I'm just randomly thinking, because then you have to include the promoters in, and they have to work together, and then it's another problem. But just off the top of my head.
Well, you know what? We're fixing the state of boxing here in the blue corner, and when
romanticizing.
We come back, when we come back, you know, we'll see what other suggestions Paulie may have, what other solutions Mauricio Sulaiman may have to see, you know, what it is that boxing needs to keep on giving the people exactly what they want. You're in the blue corner. We'll be right back.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now, to learn more.
800-741-8791. 800-741-8791. 800-741-8791. That's 800-741-8791.
Thanks for being here with us in the blue corner on BlueMoonFight.tv. Remember, you can subscribe, BlueMoonFight.tv, and send us all your boxing content. We'd love to have it. Paulo Malignaggi, Jaime Mota here with WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman. Mauricio, we've been talking about how to improve boxing, you know, how to get the fights that people want to see. What is the one thing that you would like promoters, networks, fighters, the one thing that's necessary for basically the fans to get the fights that everyone wants to see that, you know, for whatever reason right now, we're not able to get?
I think the pandemic brought a very good opportunity, and I'm seeing it. I'm seeing Top Rank collaborate with PBC, PBC with Matchroom, Matchroom with Golden Boy. Promoters are getting it. They are understanding that they have to give to the fans and to the industry the best fights. What we need is to pull all together, to push forward, but together. When a promoter has their show and the rival promoter has another show, instead of wishing they have a bad night, wish them well, because if the industry moves up, everybody moves up. And I'm really, really hoping that boxing needs positives. You know, if there's a scandal from someone, it's big news. But if a fighter goes to a hospital and gives a beautiful moment to those in need, nobody talks
People
about it.
People love train wrecks, yeah. Man. It's terrible.
Unfortunately, you know.
Gossip fighter.
You know, like they say in the news business, you know, if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
Basically, that's the way things go, unfortunately. But you're right. You know, people need to get promoters in line, to get the networks to help out each other. You know, we had a couple of fights where Fox and ESPN worked together to get some of those fights made. Do you think we're going to see more of that?
Yes.
Do you think that
yes.
Now, so we finally, you know, like the one fight that everybody wanted to see, Crawford and Spence, you know, it never materialized. It still hasn't. And we may never get it.
Don't rule out Sean Porter.
Yeah.
Don't rule out Sean Porter. He's a hell of a fighter. Spence is a hell of a fighter. Crawford, I mean, that's a great division, welterweight. So much talent. Lightweight, super lightweight, heavyweight.
And even welterweights coming up, like Jerron Ennis and Bahelio Ortiz. Yeah.
So I think we did something special in Puerto Rico. We met, and we have good ideas. And I'm going to work very, very hard to make those.
Is this going to be consistent? You guys meet together once or twice a year, maybe have a meeting of the minds to keep this consistent, also to keep a good relationship among you guys as well, and you know, guide the sport in the right direction. Is it going to be more consistent?
Absolutely, and WBC is on board now. Everybody's on board.
Great.
Hopefully we will stay in that wagon and move forward and lead the change.
Great. What's the next step? What's the next thing that we're going to see, especially from the WBC, to take that positive step within boxing, whether it's rules, whether it's, you know, less belts? What is it?
We have the WBC convention coming up in Mexico City, November 14 to 19. We expect to have all them at the meeting as well, and we're going to introduce certain ideas to the Board of Governors to start changing our rules and regulations. So it's an immediate step, talking about unifications, talking about mandatory situations in unified and undisputed champions. So I feel very comfortable, very enthused, and there's many things. It's a complicated administration of the sport, but it's not impossible to do it.
So the heavyweight situation will be addressed. Will Fury fight White or will he fight Usyk, right?
It's, we made a mandate in which the winner of Wilder Fury had 1 month to try to secure the ultimate unification against
Usyk.
Usyk, who
but
defeated Joshua.
Usyk is going to be rematching Joshua, right?
It seems that will not happen, so the WBC has ordered that Tyson Fury fights Dillian White, who is the interim champion.
That's a great fight. Let me ask you something, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this. You took a lot of flack from a lot of people when the Bridger division was created. People thinking that we really didn't need that, and people saying, you know, if that's the case, then some of the champs from the past would have never been heavyweight champs. How do you respond to that? That is, you know, another division that really wasn't needed.
Well, there's always resistance to change, always. And you know, the heavyweight champion of the world in 1909 weighed 168 pounds. in 1909.
Yeah, but there weren't that many boxers.
No. What are you saying? Humans have grown.
True.
We have grown stronger, taller, and heavier. We instituted the cruiserweight division 30 years ago to take heavyweight began at 175. So we put the cruiserweight to have 175 to 190. So heavyweight started at 190. Humans kept growing.
So we moved the weight to 200.
We moved to 200. And now we have the WBC champion, Tyson Fury, weighing 280. How can a 210, 220 compete against a 280?
Mauricio, I have another suggestion for this.
Let's hear it.
Instead of making another weight class, Bridgerweight, why don't we make the cruiserweight division run up to 215? From above 175 to 215.
Because that same disadvantage carries on from 175 over to
215.
So you use
but don't you think anything over 215 is the same disadvantage?
Let me ask a question. What is wrong with the NFL having 17 games instead of 16 games this season?
That's all about money.
I love to see my Cowboys play one more game.
But don't you think it's stressing the players more and more physically?
Why? If you have medical data, if you have something, let's talk about it. But it's only perception. What is wrong with the Major League Baseball putting a player in second base in extra innings?
They changed the rule. You're turning it into a penalty kick shootout.
But nobody bitches about anything in the other sports. Why in boxing?
No, the purists did. The purists did complain about that.
We are doing something for safety. That's it.
So did you creating this category is more for of a safety measure.
Safety measure to level of competition. Did you see the fight Rosicky against Rivas?
No, I did not.
Tremendous fight.
No, though that weight, those heavyweights of that size are always more exciting,
it's
I feel.
Gonna
I felt
be
like
from 200 to 225, 24 is going to be great competition.
Okay, we have to name it a better name, though. We have to give it a more clever name. Bridgerweight, this sounds boring. Give it a good name. Give it a fun name.
Let me tell you why it's Bridgerweight.
Because
it bridges cruiser.
No. It sounds like, but when we have the pandemic, there was a little kid in Colorado, 6-year-old, who a dog, mad dog, attacked his sister, 4-year-old.
I remember, and he fought.
And he fought and saved his sister.
Yeah.
Yes.
And his name is Bridger Walker.
Oh.
Oh,
wow.
See, that's.
Okay, so double meaning, okay.
So that's okay. Interesting.
We give an award, we name him the bravest man on earth in the convention. It was a virtual convention.
That's love, too, man.
We had Mike Tyson talking to him and Marvis Hagler and Ramirez. And at that moment, we decided to put the new division, and we named it Bridgerweight for Bridger Walker.
That's nice. That's nice. That's something that a lot of people don't know and as to why it's called that.
Blue corner is telling the people.
Absolutely. In the blue corner,
you guys tells you everything.
This is where you guys need to come and find out the skinny on what's going on within boxing. And Mauricio Sulaiman just gave us the reason as to why the Bridger division is called the way it is.
Destiny, look at that shirt over there. Walker.
Oh, look at that.
Bridger
Walker, man.
There we go. There we go. Mauricio, it's great to have you here with us. One final thought from you as to what it means for boxing to get all these fighters to agree on a certain type of testing, because it seems like some fighters are taking VADA, some others are taking another test, and at the end of the day, it seems like somebody at one day says, "Well, I got tested here, I got tested there, and so this one counts, but the other one doesn't." How can we get uniformity for everybody to be on the same level? Playing field?
It's simple. It's to get people to spend money on testing. The WBC created the WBC Clean Boxing Program 2015. We have spent a fortune from our money put into testing. And many promoters have spent a fortune in testing. So there's a difference in anti-doping. You do the out of competition, that's what we do, out of competition, random testing.
And can this be something that you guys talk about together with the other organizations to put more money towards it?
Exactly. If the other organizations...
Because there needs to be more money so the guys can get tested more often.
It's very expensive to
test. That's why you need all the other organizations on board, not just the WBC.
If you go to Thailand, you go to Korea, and it has to be a very secure testing
process. Not to mention the tests themselves are expensive.
Very
expensive. The trips are expensive. You have to hotel stay the person coming to test them, right?
The process of getting the samples and the shipment, then the lab... Mm-hmm. And the administration.
That's why you need everybody on board. See, if this could be an advantage of the organizations, if they all pool money together to do this.
And let me tell you, we have to praise the promoters, PVC, Top Rank, Match Room. They spending money like this fight. They contracted the services for out of competition. Mm-hmm. And Tyson Fury, Wilder, the same thing. And the fights are starting being contracted by the promoters, so there's testing. Mm-hmm. So we have more people performing testing. You know, I don't believe in a fighter taking on purpose something to hurt his opponent.
But it shouldn't happen.
There's so much lack of
understanding.
No, education. Fighters take whatever the trainer or the friend gives them. Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel a little bit over the weight. No, take this pill. But is this legal? No, yeah, no problem. They trust the trainer. They trust the people that go to gyms and put poison in it.
But can ignorance be an excuse? Can ignorance be an excuse? When I was fighting, I didn't want to risk. If I didn't know what it was, I would tell people, I'm sorry, I'm worried about
it. I would think that most fighters, especially when you're at the upper echelon, you know, if you don't know exactly what it is that you're taking, you shouldn't take it. Because
I was always paranoid about, you know, I always said no.
If you talk to any kid, any fighter, four rounder, six rounder, they would do whatever the trainer or the father or someone tells them. And they're very uneducated. I don't have no idea on substances. Whenever I have a positive, I don't know, and we have to do all the research. There's over 300 substances that are illegal. But anyway, I believe education. We are trying to put, I would invite you, if you can help us once in a while, go do a talk to fighters, to gymnasiums, to schools, and just tell them the dangers, because the most dangerous thing is for your own. Anything you put in your body eventually is going to hurt your kidneys, your heart, your liver, your brain, even without the boxing thing. So
absolutely.
It's a long process. If there's more people willing to test, boxing commissions, boxing federations, sanctioning organizations, promoters, managers, even fighters. There are so many fighters that voluntarily enroll in WADA.
Yes, but that's the thing about the voluntarily enrolling in WADA. If everybody doesn't do it, you're working against yourself.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Doping, and now you're 100% clean, and there's people that are not in there.
You cannot do your life of what the others do.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, Mauricio, it was an absolute pleasure having you here with us in the blue corner. Like always, this is your home. You can come here anytime. And I'm sure we'll have tons of other questions for you and suggestions. And I'm sure you'll have some solutions for us.
I will ask you something. If you get feedback from your subscribers, please let us know.
Absolutely.
Any idea comes.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Anything can come and change things around from anything that you, any idea that comes anywhere. So...
And on that note, guys, thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you to Mauricio Sulaiman, Paula Malignaggi. I'm Jaime Mota. You have been in the blue corner.